Welcome to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich. While you might prefer to stay indoors wrapped up in a warm blanket this season, it's always good to get outside for fresh air and exercise. We're talking about some of the best places for a winter hike or walk this hour. And we're going to begin with the Buckeye Trail. The trail traverses over 1,400 miles around the state. The National Park Service is currently taking part in a feasibility study to make the Buckeye Trail a national scenic trail. Here to tell us about what's involved in that process is Andrew Bashaw, Executive Director of the Buckeye Trail Association. Andrew, welcome to All Sides.
Thank you for having me, Amy.
So tell us, first of all, let's start with what the Buckeye Trail is and where it is for our radio audience who can't see a map.
The Buckeye Trail is a very long loop trail that is all the way around the state of Ohio. It goes through 47 counties, like you said, over 1,400 miles, and it connects Lake Erie to the Ohio River. That's the original Buckeye Trail, 500 miles through Appalachian, Ohio. But then the idea grew in the 1970s into a giant loop up western Ohio, across northern Ohio, and was completed in Cuyahoga Valley National Park in 1980, making it the largest loop trail in the country.
The largest loop trail in the country. Oh, yay. Ohio's little claim to fame there, right?
Yes.
So for people who can't visualize, it kind of just makes a circle around Ohio. So it doesn't go through the center. So here, us here in Columbus, we have to go somewhere else to find this trail, right?
Yep. You're never farther than 90 minutes away from the Buckeye Trail in the state of Ohio.
Okay. Got it. So the National Park Service is conducting this feasibility study to make it a national scenic trail. First of all, like, what does it mean to be a national scenic trail?
Right now, there are 11 national scenic trails. The National Trails System Act was passed in 1968. The Buckeye Trail came into existence in 1959 and was designated Ohio State Trail in 1967. The first two national scenic trails were the Appalachian Trail and Pacific Crest Trail. Okay. It means that they have, to summarize, they have a federal partner, U.S. Forest Service, National Park Service, sometimes a Bureau of Land Management, that administers the trail in partnership with a nonprofit organization such as the Buckeye Trail Association. So to be in that family of trails, there is a federal budget for operations. There is an investment in that trail, and it's done in a cooperation with a nonprofit partner and a federal partner.
Okay, so to be a national scenic trail, if this works out and the Buckeye Trail becomes one, would it become the 12th? Is that...
It would be, and it would be the fifth longest, after the Appalachian Trail and right before the Florida Trail.
Okay, I can imagine that there's people out there, national parks enthusiasts, who like to visit every national park, who maybe want to hike every trail, so that would be a new claim to fame for us?
Yes.
So... what else would it mean to make it a national trail? I was talking with some friends who have hiked it last night, and they were asking, does that mean it gets more money?
Yeah, there's two things that I think are the most important. Yes, there would be an appropriation for a national scenic trail to have a base of operations. The money goes to the federal partner, whether it be, in our case, the National Park Service or the U.S. Forest Service, and then that federal partner works with the nonprofit partner to share some of that appropriation for base operations, whether it be coordinating volunteers, acquiring a permanently protected corridor, signage, trail improvements, trail maintenance, personal protective equipment for volunteers, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. That investment is all geared towards making it a better hiking experience in our case. The other thing that designation would do is just for awareness building. Mm. The Buckeye Trail exists. It's existed for 65 years, but having that status would let everyone know that this is a nationally significant experience in the state of Ohio that goes to visit small villages, our history. Oftentimes our history is nationally significant. All of our really cool places like Cuyahoga Valley National Park or Hocking Hills State Park or the Little Miami Scenic Trail in southwest Ohio. These are all highlights and gems that Ohioans take for granted because they're in our backyard, but people do come from neighboring states and around the country to experience this on their own. not knowing that those blue blazes up on the tree are connecting 1,400 plus miles of experience around the state of Ohio to each other.
What do you mean when you say blue blaze? What does that mean?
Blue blazes. Thank you. the standard for a long distance hiking trail is a 2-inch by 6-inch painted blaze, most likely on a tree. Ours are blue, sweeping blue, and they were picked in 1959 by Grandma Gatewood and the rest of the originators of the Buckeye Trail Association in the spirit of the Appalachian Trail, because the AT has blue blazes as side trails and the white blaze as their main, and ours is the reverse. Ours is blue blazes as the main trail and side trails are white.
Well, now I want to know who this grandma is. Who was that?
Well, many people know our most famous grandma. She wasn't one of the only, she was not just the founding member, but one of the founding members, and she was the first woman to solo through hike the Appalachian Trail.
Oh.
And she was born and raised in Gallia County and became an early board member of the Buckeye Trail Association. She actually bought and donated that first can of blue blaze paint.
Aww.
And so the spirit of that time, 1959 and early 60s, was trying to make a trail in the image of the Appalachian Trail. Our first president, Dr. Roy Fairfield, came from Maine, where he was the president of the Maine Appalachian Trail Club. And in our first article in 1958, written by Merrill Gilfillan of ODNR, he references trying to build our own Appalachian Trail in the state of Ohio as well. So instead of waiting for somebody else to build us a trail, we decided to build it for ourselves so that we can hike it and share it with everyone else.
You're listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking with the executive director of the Buckeye Trail Association, Andrew Bashaw. So this idea of making it a National Scenic Trail, there's a public comment period that opened recently. What happens with that? What do we need to do?
Well, the information is on buckeyetrail.org for people to find, but it does begin next week, January 13th through January 23rd. There will be a series of six public meetings. The ones in person are in Cuyahoga Valley National Park, Napoleon, Athens, Dayton, Cincinnati, and then there's a virtual meeting as well. But following our website, you'll find a link to publicly commenting online as well and submitting your comments via the internet.
What do we want people to say? I'm asking why do we have a public comment period?
The questions that the National Park Service feasibility study team are asking include what is the Buckeye Trail to you? And so how do you use it? What value does it have to you in your life in the state of Ohio? Do you have any concerns? Would you like to share a personal experience that's relevant to considering whether the Buckeye Trail deserves national recognition or not? And the personal stories of having a day hike, a through hike, or a hiking experience with on your own or with friends, like those are relevant because they help to tell the story of the history and the culture along the Buckeye Trail that you get to experience, its length and its breadth, as far as a challenge, a recreational challenge, its access to communities and providing access to Ohio's great outdoors, as well as the aesthetics that you see along the way, the beautiful scenery, the waterfalls, the hills, even the farmland and canal lands of north and western Ohio are beautiful, and the history that they show that the Ohio has been through. The Buckeye Trail is one of the best ways to experience these things. And those are the kinds of things that the National Park Service is looking for people to share with them.
Okay, so this process with the National Park Service is not easy nor short, is it?
No, the whole process was promised to take 2.5 years.
When I Googled this just to see if there were other stories about it, the first story I found was from 2022. So you started a while ago, right?
That's when the act was passed to the Buckeye National Scenic Trail Feasibility Study Act. Mm-hmm. And the work began in earnest last year, 2024. And now's the public comment period. And there'll be more outreach to significant partners around the state as well. ODNR, our first partner. In the Buckeye Trail, as well as land managing agencies, people who are interested in ecotourism, economic development, all the things that trails provide, including quality of life for local residents in the state of Ohio.
So making it this far doesn't mean you're going to win necessarily, right?
True. The feasibility study team is making a recommendation. So a positive, negative, or in-between recommendation for Congress to consider. A next step, depending on the recommendation, there would be needed another act of Congress to authorize the Buckeye National Scenic Trail. So more work to do ahead.
Okay, so it takes an act of Congress to become one of these. So yes, there's 11 of them. They all have an act of Congress. So to become the 12th, we would need Congress to vote for the Buckeye Trail. Okay. And when do you think that could happen? Is it after the public comment period? Just you don't know how fast it would happen?
I don't know exactly how fast, but the promise on the timeline is that the feasibility study would likely be done in 2026.
2026? Oh, I didn't expect you to say that. Okay.
And so sometime after that, depending on how the feasibility study goes, another act would have to be worked up and voted upon.
So tell me what it takes, because you said that, you know, there would be more money, there'd be national interest in the trail behind it. You'd probably get this trail in all of those national park guidebooks, right? Stuff like that. What does it take to upkeep a trail? I mean, that's your organization's job, right? You make sure the trail is passable, mm-hmm. and you make sure that it's well taken care of. Tell me a little bit about that.
We depend heavily on our volunteers for the last 65 years. So these years, hundreds of Buckeye Trail volunteers are devoting thousands of hours so that millions of people can enjoy the Buckeye Trail like on a regular basis. Those volunteers need training. They need support. They need materials. Every 2x4 for every bridge, every brush mower for maintaining the trail. The time and support from staff to negotiate relationships with significant partners like Muskingum Watershed Conservancy District or Wayne National Forest or Cuyahoga Valley to integrate into their programs as well for trail maintenance, construction. We're still actively building it, moving it off of roads onto a primitive hiking trail experience. The Buckeye Trail is approaching 60% off-road and 40% on roads. Primarily, those are backcountry gravel roads that are scenic in their own right. But for the most part, we're trying to move it into more or less 100% off-road hiking experience.
So you want it to be 100% natural. Is that the right word?
Yep. Whatever the chosen surface may be, we have a variety out there. We promote a hiking experience on a 2-foot-wide hiking trail. That's what you see. But often we make the best and are happy to use multi-use bike paths, canal towpaths, abandoned railroad grades as well, and incorporate those into the Buckeye Trail because they are far superior to hiking on a busy road. So a lot of work goes into negotiating moving a mile of trail off of road. We calculate just to build it with volunteers takes about 500 person hours. And you can multiply that out by over $30 of value per hour just to see what it takes volunteers to do. So any investment in supporting that structure, whether it be National Scenic Trail status or a project-oriented grant here or there, is certainly appreciated. Right now, the Buckeye Trail Association is primarily funded by membership dues and donations from passionate volunteers and members. And that's how we operate the Buckeye Trail Association.
I would think that most people probably have their like favorite piece of the trail, right? Mm-hmm. They like take care of a certain part. They hike it regularly. Is that true?
Yep. Our volunteer system is based on trail adopters who can take a mile or so, and it's their portion to adopt and maintain. Our job is to outfit them so they have the tools to do that and the training. And then we have 26 sections of the Buckeye Trail, and each one of them has a section supervisor who those trail adopters work with to keep that section up to a good maintenance standard, but also improve it with new trail segments being added all the time. And then we coalesce those folks into a statewide conversation with our trail management team and we have 10 chapters of the Buckeye Trail that cover the entire Buckeye Trail. So if you live in the Central Ohio area, we even have a chapter, the Central Ohio chapter of the Buckeye Trail Association, to engage with. But if you're going to travel out those 90 minutes in either direction, any direction from Central Ohio, there is a chapter and a section and trail and exciting places to discover out there on the edges of Ohio.
Do you have a favorite part? What's your favorite part?
That's a tricky answer for an executive director.
Yes. No, I'm going to make you. Where do you go? Do you live near here or did you travel to get to me?
I live in Southeast Ohio with my family. And okay. So right now in this phase of my life, it's telling that my favorite part of the Buckeye Trail is a particular place where there's a creek where the Buckeye Trail crosses, where I can take my family and we can hang out and we can take a day hike and we can wander on and off the trail. And we can travel up and down the creek to look under the stones and discover those sorts of things that with young kids, that is where I'm at right now. In the past, I come from a long-distance backpacking desire, and I've put that kind of activity on hold while I try to engage my family and the kids in enjoying the experience. For now, and when they get old enough, maybe we'll pick back up with the long distance overnight backpacking experience that I'm used to.
Yeah. What do you keep track of? Do people report to you if they've hiked the entire thing or something like that?
Most of the time, people will let us know if they're attempting a through hike and need support. Not all the time. So it's nice to finally be here in the Buckeye Trail's history where we get surprised, where I just completed the Buckeye Trail over the last 3 months. Just what thought you might want to know.
That's a lovely email. You're like, oh, thanks for telling us.
Yeah.
Usually send us a picture.
Yeah, usually the comments are positive. They do share challenges and things that we can address to make the Buckeye Trail better. But several hundred people have completed the Buckeye Trail. The most common is for completion is section hiking. So completing it over time, weekend by weekend by weekend, because their goal is to complete all the inches of the entire Buckeye Trail. We've had 30 or so through hikers of the Buckeye Trail that hike it all in one go. It takes 3 or 4 months in a row to do that. But the most popular use of the Buckeye Trail is day hiking. So that's the 4 million plus people that visit the Hocking Hills and the several million that visit Cuyahoga Valley National Park, et cetera. Day hiking is the most popular way to enjoy the Buckeye Trail.
And you mentioned to me but when we were off the air that you have some hikes coming up, winter hikes. You want to tell us those real quick?
Sure. Right in the middle of the feasibility study comment period, we have the Hocking Hills Winter Hike, which we started with ODNR over 50 years ago on January 18th at Old Man's Cave Visitor Center. That's maybe the largest singular hike in the state of Ohio all year round, where several thousand people go to enjoy the frozen waterfalls and icicles coming off the cliffs and the caves in the Hocking Hills. It's gorgeous. And then if you only want to hike with a few hundred people, the Baroque Winter Hike on February 8th is a lovely event as well through the rugged hills of Baroque State Park near Gloucester, Ohio.
All right. And before we end, I want you to talk about or plug your public comment period one more time because you need I'm assuming the more comments, the better. Is that how it works?
Sure. Yep. Public comment period, January 13th is when it starts in person to the 23rd for these in-person events. And then the comment period ends on February 19th. So we want people to share their experiences as soon as they can and hope for the best.
All right. Well, we'll have you back, hopefully. I guess it'll be 2026, and you'll tell me if it made it, right?
We'll keep you updated.
All right. Yes. That was Andrew Bashaw, Executive Director of the Buckeye Trail. Thank you so much for joining All Sides today.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
And coming up, we're going to talk about where you can find the best winter hikes in Central Ohio and beyond. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News. You're listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich. We're talking about some of the best places for a winter hike this hour. While the Buckeye Trail, which we just talked about in the last segment, doesn't run through Columbus, Metro Parks has locations close by where you can get out and enjoy the winter weather. We're joined in the studio by Jill Snyder, Visitor Engagement Manager for Metro Parks. Welcome, Jill.
Thanks very much.
And also with us is Carolyn Wagner-Fry, Metro Parks Outdoor Adventure Programmer. Welcome to the show, Carolyn.
Thank you for having us.
So, listeners, what are your favorite winter hikes in Ohio? We want you to join the conversation, 614-292-8513, or send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. So Columbus and Franklin County Metro Parks has many trails to choose from. Let's start with a easy winter hike. Maybe there's someone who just doesn't like to get outside in the winter, but you want to entice them. Jill, where would you send them?
One of the best easy hikes, and I would say almost year-round, is at Inniswood Metro Gardens. Because there's a short trail through the woods, so if you want the wooded component, you've got that. If you just want to look at flowers, there's flowers to see. Most of their trails are fairly flat. And they're short enough that you can do a quick loop, or if you want to do a little bit longer, you can spend an hour or so enjoying the gardens.
And Caroline, would you like to, what would be your choice for the easy hike to get someone out of their pajamas and onto a trail?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love Walnut Woods, the Tall Pines area. You can have a stroller, you can ride a bike, you can bring your dog. So it's a great way to get your entire family out hiking.
In the last segment, when we were talking about the Buckeye Trail, the executive director of the Buckeye Trail Association said that he's working on making the Buckeye Trail 100% natural instead of having paved areas. Mm-hmm. What's the percentage for Metro Parks of paved versus natural, or what's your goal there? You like to have both?
We really do try to have both, mm-hmm. Because we recognize that there are folks that want a stroller or that need wheelchair access and things like that, and we want them to be able to access nature and get out there and enjoy it. But we also know that there are trail runners or, you know, people training for a hike on the Buckeye Trail or the Appalachian Trail, and they need the more rugged stuff. So we really like to have a variety amongst all of our parks.
And the Metro Park Winter Hike Series runs from December through February. So each month features different themes and there's activities. Can you tell us about a theme or an activity that's coming up?
So
go
this,
ahead, Jill, you start. Yeah, like you both have have papers and lists. Yes.
So this weekend, Sharon Woods is going to be doing their kind of hot drinks and treats on Saturday from 10 until noon. And then on Sunday, it will be at Slate Run. And you really can hike anywhere, anytime. We're just trying to get people outside in the winter to enjoy the Metro Parks. And so we try to kind of promote that and encourage you to do it by giving out muffins and donuts and hot chocolate when you're finished. So you've earned a reward.
And what's another one coming up, Caroline?
Yeah, so another one is going to be Saturday, January 18th. It'll be at Saida Audubon, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And is that one paved? Or I've been to Saida Audubon many times. Can you tell me about it more?
Yeah, Saida Audubon, so it's going to be in the city. So it's paved. You have bike access. Again, it's pet friendly, which is super nice. And it's really great because it's accessible for a lot of people who maybe don't have transportation. Like I said, it's right in downtown, so it's mm-hmm. really close for a lot of people.
So tell me about Metro Parks and the winter weather. I mean, obviously, we had a little bit of snow recently, you know, just a touch. And, you know, that impacts a lot of things. Jill, what do you have to do to take care of the parks? I mean, did the parks close whenever there was all that snow? Does it?
Oh, no, we do not close.
Yeah.
In fact, our staff comes in starting, you know, 3:30 in the morning to start plowing roads, getting parking lots cleared. You know, we focus on
at every park or
at,
what do you
all have 20 of our parks.
I know. I was just going to say, do you have a priority list? Which park's the most important park?
No, we would never say such a thing. Everyone is important, but we have staff at each of those parks so that they can kind of get out, get started. And they usually hit, like I said, the roadways, the parking lots. Then they do the sidewalks so that, you know, you can get up to the restrooms or bathrooms or shelter houses. And then a lot of those paved trails also get plowed. They're kind of the next priority down. But I would say our paved trails are sometimes plowed before some of the neighborhood streets out there. Mm-hmm. We really work hard at it. And then Caroline and her staff were out all day Monday with s'mores and snowshoeing and just different activities for people to enjoy in the parks.
Yeah, tell me about snowshoeing. Do you have snowshoes to give away?
We do. So we have a set of snowshoes. We have like 8 sets that we'll do pop-up impromptu programs in the winter. We love snowshoeing. The downside is you do need a few inches of snow to snowshoe. So we usually do those programs as impromptu programs, waiting to see how much snow we actually get, if it sticks around. So this week it's been great. We've actually been able to do snowshoeing every day, impromptu programs, because we've had enough snow that we've been able to actually hike around in it. So we actually have an impromptu snowshoeing today at Quarry Trails, 2 to 4. And then we're actually going to do them throughout the week as long as we have snow.
Quarry Trails, that's one of the newest parks, right?
Correct.
Is that right? Okay. So, and is that the one with the new sled riding hill everyone's talking about?
Yes. Okay. It's really fun.
Can you tell me about it?
Yeah. So it's a huge sled hill. It's one of the biggest, I'd say, in Metro Parks. On Monday, we did a pop-up program, and we had just 64 people come to get a marshmallow within like an hour. The sled hill probably had, like, I'd say 100 people on average throughout the entire day. So it was very busy.
When you designed Quarry Trails, did you have in mind, you were like, we're going to do sledding here?
They did. So because Quarry Trails is an old quarry property, it had all sorts of steep rock walls and things like that, which has led to a Via Ferrata program that Caroline also organizes. That's a whole nother story.
Okay, you're going to have to tell me. I don't know what that is. So finish your sentence and then remember
that.
All right.
but in doing that, one of the things that has to happen at the quarry is they're supposed to try and regrade some of those steep rock walls. And so they actually, we asked if they would grade it in a way that we could then turn it into a sled hill. So this has been the plan all along, and it is the biggest. And it's funny because I feel like once I climb up the top once, I'm not doing it again. It's that large a hill.
Mm-hmm. See, I am Western Pennsylvania born and raised, so I grew up hiking up a hill to do my sledding. And I take my kids sledding here, and it's... The hills are fine, but we're a little flatter. I find myself saying, back in my day, you have no idea what I had to climb up. So if I haven't been to Quarry Trails, I mean, I've been there not in the winter, but for, you know, to see it. So if I go there, am I going to feel more Western Pennsylvania with my hike up the hill?
100%. It is a big hill.
All right. So tell me, well, I guess while we're on the sledding topic, we'll get back to the winter hike, but where else can we go sledding?
So we have... Excuse me. We have sled hills in lots and lots of our parks. And we actually post on our social media which ones are open. One of the things that we try to do is we want to make sure that everyone's safe. So if all of a sudden there's too much ice on the hills or it's gotten muddy, we will close the sled hills. We also don't have them open during when it's dark out for safety reasons. But Sharon Woods, Walnut Woods, Blendon Woods, Black Lick Woods Golf Course, Battelle Darby Creek Metro Park. High Banks has a big hill as well. And then obviously Quarry Trails is a great one. Oh, and Scioto Audubon downtown.
Yeah, and Cider Grove has a little one. It's kind of tucked in by the REI trail.
Listeners, what is your favorite winter hike in Ohio? We want you to join the conversation and tell us where you recommend people should go to get outdoors in the winter. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about winter hikes in Central Ohio and beyond. You can give us a call if you have one that's outside of Central Ohio, too, with Jill Snyder and Caroline Wagner-Fry, both from the Metro Parks. So you have a hike card program. Can you tell us about that? What is the hike card program, Caroline?
Yeah, so the hike card, so it's really cool. So whenever you go to a park, you can get a stamp acknowledging that you're at that park. You don't have to go on the specific winter hike day. That's the nice thing about the challenge is you can go on whatever day, do whatever hike you want to do. So it makes it really accessible for everybody. So when you go, you can call the ranger. Sometimes they'll have a stamp like on the park office door or in a shelter. It's also on the honor system too. So if you go and you need to leave really quick, you don't have time to get the stamp, you can sign it and just say what day you were there and it still counts.
Is the goal to get a stamp at every park?
So if you get 7 stamps, 7 parks, you get a patch. And then if you do all of the winter hikes, you can get a hiking stick as well if you become a Friends of Metro Parks member.
A hiking stick?
Yes. Okay. They're really nice.
Is it like branded? Is it?
It is. It's branded with Metro Parks. And then after you get the stick 1 year, you can get a medallion added for previous years or for future years.
How many Metro Parks are there? I feel like I should know that.
We have 20 metro parks.
Okay.
Technically, for the winter hike series, you only have to do 19 of them.
Why? Which one are you excluding?
I know, right?
It's Heritage Trail is one of our, we have a parking lot, and then it's kind of a greenway trail, mm-hmm. and it's just not big enough to have the capacity to hold a huge crowd of people. Mm. So that's the reason why that one's not on the list. Mm-hmm. You can still go there and hike in the winter. It's still a pretty mm-hmm. place to be. It's just not on the list.
Where is Heritage Trail? Tell me.
It's close to Hilliard in mm-hmm. Dublin. It's an old rails to trails greenway path, and it connects between downtown Hilliard to Homestead Metro Park, Heritage Trail, and then it goes all the way out towards Plain City.
Okay. And your 20 metro parks, when we talk metro, is it what are we using the Beltway? What is the metro park area? Carolyn?
It's kind of all over. Mm-hmm. So the majority of the parks are in Franklin County, but there's a park out in Clear Creek Metro Park, which is south of Columbus. And the nice thing is the parks are kind of all over the area. So depending on where you are, there should be a park fairly close to you.
Yeah. One of our goals with opening Quarry Trails Metro Park was to create a park within 5 miles of everyone in the Franklin County. Mm. And so that kind of helped mm-hmm. us create that connection. So we are really close to a lot of neighborhoods. And the nice thing about the Winter Hikes series is that you really are challenged to try maybe not the park that's right next door, but go check out a new park that you haven't visited before.
Okay. So for the Winter Hike series, it's specific dates and times at each park. Is that right?
If you want to go for like the celebration, so on those days, there's either lights, like in December, there's twinkling lights, and in January and February, there are snacks. So if you want to go on a day where it's going to be really busy, like you want that more of event feel, mm-hmm. you can go on the specific days. There's a schedule online, but you can go whenever. So if you still just want to get your stamp, but you don't want to maybe fight through the crowds, you can go on a different day as well.
Okay. And you have the hikes regardless of the temperature, or do you? I mean, I know you said to go to social media to see, right, Jill?
Yeah, and we really do them no matter the weather. The only time that we've ever said we would cancel one is if we're in a level 3 snow emergency.
Because then people aren't allowed to drive to you.
Because then you're not allowed, and we would feel bad about that. but no, we've done them in the bitter cold. We've done them in the rain, snow. We're maybe like the postal service. Rain, sleet, or snow, we're always there.
And you have on your website a list of that shows the degree of difficulty. So what are we ranging here? There's in the Winter Hike series, can you talk about the degree of difficulty?
Yeah, so the trails are beginner, moderate, and then advanced. So most of the winter hike trails, you're going to have an option. So most parks, you're going to have an option to pick what trail you want to do, but they're typically going to be geared towards beginners.
Okay, so the actual programmed winter hikes are for beginners, but mm-hmm. every park has different levels of trails, right, Jill?
We do. And that's, I think, the thing that I enjoy the most is that I grew up in the Cincinnati area. And so a lot of hills, a lot of woods. And coming to Central Ohio, I had a similar experience where I was like, oh, this is flat. and so there are specific parks and specific trails that I seek out because I want that rugged trail experience. So I go to High Banks and hike those trails, mm-hmm. Battelle Darby Creek Metro Park. Slate Run is a great one for hills. Obviously, Clear Creek, because that's down in the Hocking Hills area. But we have miles of trails that you can kind of put together if you want that really long, rugged hike.
Listeners, again, what's your favorite winter hike in Ohio? Let us know. Join us, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're going to continue talking about the best winter hikes in Ohio when All Sides continues. This is 89.7 NPR News. You're listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich. From sledding to watching wildlife, there's lots to enjoy outdoors in the winter. And while you may want to stay indoors, we're hoping to change your mind this hour with some suggestions to getting outside. Still with us is Jill Snyder, Visitor Engagement Manager for Metro Parks. Thanks again for being here, Jill.
Thank you.
And Caroline Wagner-Fry, Metro Park Outdoor Adventure Programmer. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And again, listeners, tell us your favorite winter hike. Let us know, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So we were talking about the winter hike series. Before we took the break, we were talking about the difficulty, beginner, moderate, and advanced. Where, if someone wants to do a really advanced hike, they're an avid hiker, but they can't travel away from Central Ohio, you know, in the winter time. Where's the most difficult hike?
In my personal opinion, I would say Clear Creek Metro Park, because it is going to be south in that hiking area. Lots of steep grade. If you want to do multiple miles, you can, and you can really make a whole day out of it.
And like, how challenging? How far is it? Like, what's the You said it would be a day. Go ahead. Tell me more.
Yeah.
About
so
it.
There's multiple trails at Clear Creek, which makes it very unique that you can kind of pick and choose your adventure, so to speak. So depending on what trail you do, my personal favorites there are the Fern Trail and the Hemlock Trail. So you're climbing uphill pretty much the entire way, but it's worth it. You see lots of really cool, like I said, hemlocks and ferns throughout. And it's a lot of steep grades.
Is it paved, or are we talking this natural trail?
It's going to be a natural trail.
Okay. And then on the other hand, if you have your kids with you, but you maybe no stroller, though, you want to do a natural trail, which one would you recommend, Jill?
There are so many that really fit that bill. And we've talked about a lot of them. So let me think of a different one. You know, another park that's really nice is Blendon Woods in the wintertime and in the fall. But they've got some nice loop trails. So again, you can kind of put a couple of loops together and make it a little longer if you want. It does have some hills, but it's not nearly as steep and hard to do. And it's got that natural surface to it as well.
Tell me a little bit about safety. I mean, I'm assuming if it's a natural trail, you're not out there throwing salt down on the trail, right? So tell me about how you make sure people can still use the trail but stay safe.
Yeah, so anytime there's something that we want our visitors to know, we are really good about putting out signage. So just warning people, hey, it might be icy, or sometimes trails are closed if there's a tree down and they need to remove it. The maintenance staff at Metro Parks are amazing all-stars. So they're out there making sure the trail is always cleared off as safe as can be.
And on the trail you were talking about that's the most difficult, you said Clear Creek?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So how do you keep maintenance on something like that? Does someone go out in the morning after a snow and hike it and say, this is dangerous? This, you know?
Go ahead.
It's
a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we rely on a lot, because we have so many miles of trails, if the staff can go out and check them, they will. But a lot of times we have our volunteers go out and hike them, or our visitors, so that they can go out, walk those trails, let us know if there is a section that's unsafe or a tree that has fallen, those sorts of things, especially at Clear Creek. Because it's pretty remote, we can't just drive along those trails and check to see if they're in good shape. So we rely on our volunteers, our staff, to kind of go out and actually physically walk them.
Do you have people who cross-country ski? Where is that popular?
Yeah, so in the winter, a lot of the bridle trails will turn into cross-country skiing trails. So at Glacier Ridge, there were people out actually cross-country skiing yesterday on the bridle trail, which is always fun to see people out there. And then Battelle Darby has a cross-country skiing trail. I'm trying to think of the other ones.
Battelle Darby is the one with the bison, right?
Correct.
Are they out in the winter?
Yes, they are. They love it.
Yeah, I was going to say their whole head is like a snow plow in and of itself, so that they can just move that snow and get
to
the grass.
They help you out.
They do, in their field. So the other park, Blacklick Woods Golf Course, allows cross-country skiing when the snow is there. High Banks and Blendon Woods, both kind of on that north end of town, have cross-country ski trails as well.
Do you ever make recommendations for the winter hike series, or just in general, of hiking gear, dressing for the elements? Do you tell people, you know, you really should wear boots? Don't come out here in your tennis shoes.
Yeah, that's a great question. We do. My department will actually offer gear programs too, so where you can come out, we will show you different gear and we recommend what layers to wear. So that's something we'll offer throughout winter. But we usually recommend a great base layer, something that's going to wick your sweat. Some type of light wool is perfect. A mid layer. I love to wear a vest under my jacket. It's a great thing. It's easy to take off. It's easy to store. And then an outer layer. So something that's going to repel the snow. If it gets, you know, a little bit more wet or windy, it's going to repel that moisture.
Yeah, I think that a struggle as a mom is you always dress your kid in too many layers or not enough layers. You're never right. Is that
100%. Yes.
Well, and then for me as a mom, by the time I've got my kids dressed, I'm too tired and exhausted to bother putting on anything for myself. So, because I'm too hot.
So the layering, take off the layers as you get hot, put them back on.
Yeah, I like to start off with easy layers, like layers that will keep me warm at the start, but knowing as you're moving, you're going to start getting a little bit warmer. So having a hat, gloves, scarf, I like to have a buff. So it just covers my mouth and neck. And then, like I said, I love having a vest because it's an easy thing to throw in my backpack. It's not going to take too much room, but it's going to keep my core warm. And that's stuff that's easy to shed as I hike and as I start sweating and just store in a day pack.
How many, what's the Metro Parks lost and found like? How many pieces of clothing do you find around?
It's a pretty unique lost and found.
Lots of individual mittens this time of year.
Oh, you should make a tree of like sad lost mittens. I think that would be good.
That would be super cute.
So we're spending a lot of time talking about Metro Parks, but I have to think that if you are so invested in parks, you know of other parks. So maybe we can expand a little bit beyond the Central Ohio Metro Parks region. Where is somewhere you would recommend people go for a hike if they want to like get out and about a little more in the winter?
I'm from Cleveland originally, so I love Cuyahoga Valley National Park.
Yeah.
Specifically Hinckley. Is a great park. It has a lake. So that's a great place to hike, but I'm a little biased.
How much, I mean, tell me about lake effect snow and hiking there.
Yeah, they have a lot of snow. So it definitely will be something that you might want to invest in snowshoes if you're going hiking up in Cleveland area. But it does make it a little bit more, it makes it magical having the snow.
Do you have a suggestion outside?
Well, it's funny because Caroline and I were talking about we love the Hocking Hills area and Old Man's Cave and all of that. But it's pretty popular now, and so it's getting a little more crowded. So I have started to try to find similar but not but not as busy. And I've really found John Bryant State Park, which is west of here. That's a pretty nice park.
Yellow Springs
area. Mm-hmm. And then it's got Yellow Springs adjacent. So you can stop and get ice cream at Young's Jersey Dairy. You can stop and have a drink in downtown Yellow Springs. It's a nice spot to kind of make a day of it.
Yeah. I mean, I've been hiking in Hocking Hills in more of like the May, June timeframe. I have not been in the winter. I have to say that it was... The trail we went on was hard. I can't imagine what it would be like when it was icy. Have you hiked in Hocking Hills in the winter?
I went to Hocking Hills actually last winter, and at one point it was a little icy, and we actually just slid down the hill. And we just all scooted in my group down the hill, and it worked out really well. So.
I mean, I scooted in May. Right?
Well, and I think the other thing that we haven't mentioned but that I use a lot in the wintertime are yak tracks, which are like a – You can buy them anywhere, but they kind of go on the bottom of your boot and give you extra traction, which can be helpful. Sometimes you can do the same thing with spikes for your shoes. And then hiking poles, because it gets slippery, because there's a lot of different ups and downs. Sometimes those are helpful for me so I don't completely fall.
This is 89.7 NPR News, and you're listening to All Sides. We're talking about favorite winter hikes in Ohio. And listeners, we have a few minutes left if you want to get your call in, 614-292-8513 or allsides@wosu.org. And we did have a question about bird watching in the winter. Is there a good place for bird watching?
Yeah, really any of the parks are great for bird watching. Depending on what you're interested in, if you want to stay warm and dry, we have bird viewing windows at High Banks, Blacklick Woods, and Blendon Woods in all three of their nature centers. And especially if you're new to birding, it's a great way to learn some of the common birds in the wintertime. And again, you don't have to be outside freezing to do it. if you're looking to be a little more adventurous and go for a hike, to look for them. Again, Blendon Woods is another great park with a couple of shorter trails that are pretty, we like to say birdie. I don't know if that's a dictionary word. And Blacklick Woods, both of those parks have some nice bird trails.
Do you have any, tell me about other wildlife besides birds. What, if you're on a hike at a metro park, what else might you see even in the winter?
Yeah, so you can see white-tailed deer are very common. You'll see their tracks even if you don't see them. Coyotes are very common. Rabbits are out like crazy, especially this time of year. So pretty much you name it, you'll see it.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about hiking in the winter is really looking for all the different tracks, because there's so much more wildlife in the parks than people can see. They see us, they smell us, they avoid us. But in the snow, you can look at all the, you know, the different tracks, the footprints, and it's kind of a fun game to see where all the animals are hanging out.
We mentioned Hocking Hills, which obviously you think of waterfalls there, you know, a nice frozen waterfall. Where is there anywhere in the Metro Park system where we can see the waterfall frozen?
Yeah, so Quarry Trails Metro Park has a waterfall, and it gets frozen this time of year, so it's a really pretty thing to go see.
And do you have are there other more?
No, that's by far the best
yes.
one.
Yeah. Okay, all right. I wanted to make sure we weren't missing a waterfall. And so Metro Parks is also holding a celebration in February, February 23rd. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so that's the Winter Hike Celebration. So we've talked a lot about how you can really hike any of the parks throughout the winter, get a stamp, sign your card. The Winter Hike Celebration is exactly that. It is at Blacklick Woods Golf Course. We will have the patches, the hiking sticks, all those prizes. You get to hike on the golf course, which is kind of unique. If you're not a golfer, you probably would never go wandering around the golf course at Blacklick Woods. It's an Audubon-sanctioned golf course, so it's beautiful. So you can hike that. We've got food trucks. We will have Caroline and her team will be doing archery inside in the basement at the golf course. We'll have crafts and activities for kids. But it's just another great way to kind of get out with a group of people and celebrate the winter season.
We talked briefly about, I think we in passing mentioned a few nature centers, but if you are out on a winter hike and you want to warm up, where is a good place to pair a hike with something interesting to look at inside?
Yeah, so all the nature centers in Metro Parks are really, really well done. They're beautiful. Battelle Darby, their nature center has a living stream in it, and it has a touch area for kids. So it's a great snow day activity. You can go outside, play, have a warm-up break, you know, visit the living stream and see everything they have in there.
Do you have any other...
I was going to say, and then you can look for the bison.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a great spot.
Where are the heated bathrooms? Do you have those? No? None?
We do. So you mentioned earlier, did we close for the snow? And we don't. And for the most part, in all of our parks, we have restrooms that are still open all year long. The flushing ones have heat because otherwise the water would freeze. But yeah, so there's even if you just need to pop into the bathroom, use the hand dryer, warm up for a minute, it's there.
All right. In the last couple of minutes we have left, we can look ahead to spring. I don't even know. Does Metro Parks, are you working on any new parks or anything like that? What's coming?
So we have two new parks that are going to come online maybe this year. Maybe 2026. One is called Bank Run. It's on the south side of town, kind of near the Rickenbacker Obetz area. It's going to be an event center. It also has a quarry property. So Caroline and her crew will be out there with paddle boards and kayaks and things like that. And then the other one is called Great Southern Metro Park. It's near 23 and 270 on the south side. It goes along the Scioto River, so it's going to have a lot of trails that'll kind of connect the different metro parks and through the Greenway trails.
And those are like under construction?
Under construction, yeah. The big challenge, nobody ever thinks about it, but one of the biggest challenges for us when we build a park is actually utilities. So we are struggling to make sure that we get water, electric, you know, the things that we all sort of take for granted in those park areas, they don't exist. So we're working on that. We're working on some construction, getting some other pieces of land, kind of tying it together.
So it's not just you need a bunch of green space and you have to throw a playground on there, right?
Right. No, there's so much more to it than that. For sure, the infrastructure is the hardest part.
Earlier in the show, we talked about say it again, Via Ferrata.
The Via Ferrata.
Via Ferrata. So that the newest Metro Park that is open is Quarry Trails. And you mentioned that. That's a spring summer activity. Tell us what that was, because I wanted to circle back to that.
Yeah. So the Via Ferrata is a really unique opportunity. So I like to describe it as a combination of hiking and rock climbing. So you're going to be along one of the exposed cliff faces in Quarry Trails, and you're going to be using rungs, cables, and you're actually going to be hooked into a cable the entire time with a climbing harness. It's about an hour-long experience. The really cool part is it's completely free to park visitors, so you just have to register online, and then you have guides with you the entire time helping you with that experience. And that's going to be spring, summer, and fall.
You register in advance, and then you have a spot, and you have someone teaching you what to do.
Exactly, exactly. And you can find all of that on metroparks.net. So when we post those in the spring, you can register for any of those trips.
Oh, and my husband would be mad at me if I didn't say thank you for having camping at Scioto Grove. That's Scioto Grove, right?
Yes.
That's a free campsite, right?
Yeah. So we have two of our parks have backpacking trails, mm-hmm. Scioto Grove and Battelle Derby Creek. You have to sign up for them, mm-hmm. But it's all free.
That's a family favorite in our house. So,
well, yeah. And it's a great way to, you know, if you're not sure if you've got the right equipment or if your kids are going to manage it, it gives you a way to check it out.
Exactly. All right. Well, that was Jill Snyder, Visitor Engagement Manager for Metro Parks. Thanks again, Jill.
You're welcome.
And Caroline Wagner-Fry, Metro Park Outdoor Adventure Programmer. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
And thank you to our listeners. Thanks for listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.